Welcome to another edition of American Exposé. Connecting the dots is what we do here, and certainly today's no different. It is the 9th of August, 2005. Anybody know who made this statement? We desperately need to recognize that we are the guests, not the masters of nature, and adopt a new paradigm for development based on the cost and benefits to all people, and bound by the limits of nature herself rather than the limits of technology and consumerism. Once again, we desperately need to recognize that we are the guests, not the masters of nature, and we adopt a new paradigm of development based on the cost and benefits to all people, and bound by the limits of nature herself rather than the limits of technology and consumerism. Anybody care to guess who made that statement? Uh-huh. Interesting to know who that would be. These situations that I expose do not go away. They continue. If people ignore them and deal with their, well, personal directions for sovereignty, they don't care. They don't care. And that is the problem. Everybody has to get active in their local communities. They need to get active in their congressmen and senators. That is the point and the problem of our whole dilemma today. Apathy and ignorance. Lack of desire. Is the aerial spraying part of the complacent population? Could very well be. Here we see, according to the AFP, the United States considers reports that Iran has restarted nuclear activities unfortunate and would expect Tehran to be taken before the United Nations, a State Department official says. What gives us the right to dictate to other countries like we've been doing for so many years? And once again, this government represents the United Nations system. Don't think otherwise. Until you do your research, like I've done my research, you won't be able to prove me wrong, because we deal with documentation. What gives us the right to go into other countries and push our will on them? We are being set up as the next Nazi Germany, to be hated by the world. So the world will unite against this country. It's obvious to me that's how the scenario is going to be coming down in the future. Whether it will be a scenario where we'll just have to capitulate instead of engaging in atomic war, and that's number two of the communist goals of 1963, U.S. willingness to capitulate in preference to engaging in atomic war. I'm pretty certain that's going to be the case. Because all other communist goals, all 44 of them, connect the dots to number two, U.S. willingness to capitulate in preference to engaging in atomic war. And there is the scenario in place. All those communist goals, well into indoctrination and implementation, in place today. Number 42, create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition, that students and special interest groups should rise up and use united force to solve economic, political, and social problems. Watch the television in any length of time. What do you see? Violence, brutality, sex. No more Donna Reed Show. No more. Not even Dallas anymore. Notch Landing. No, nothing of the sort. So, U.S. presses U.N. action against Iran. Here we go. Keep in mind, Secretary of the Treasury, U.S. Governor of the IMF. We don't have a Treasury any longer. The official who asked not to be named made his comment after the Vice President of Iran's Atomic Energy Agency announced the resumption of uranium conversion at its Isfahan plant, despite warnings by the international community. Quote, if in fact they have just taken measures to restart uranium conversion, it would be unfortunate, end quote, the U.S. official said, who wants to be unnamed, listeners, adding that he expected a board meeting of the International Atomic Energy Agency, that's an agency of the U.N. system, listeners. And on Tuesday, that was today, to take appropriate action. Quote, we've said all along that should Iran break the seals and restart uranium enrichment at Isfahan or anywhere else, we would think an appropriate response would be a referral to the United Nations, end quote. The move by Iran, which Washington accuses of seeking nuclear arms, came despite an effort by Britain, France, and Germany to wean Tehran off its ambitions with economic and security incentives. What are its ambitions? To survive. Iran wants to survive. Iran wants to feed its people. Is Iran any more of a totalitarian country than Iraq was? Is Iraq any better off today under the coalition than under Saddam Hussein? We don't know. We can't get to the bottom of that. I do know that anybody who makes statues and portraits of himself and paints them all over the cities is a lunatic. Is very well on the way to being totally conceited and arrogant. I don't think any leader of any country should be that arrogant to build statues of himself to immortalize himself like Saddam Hussein did. However, the original Gulf War I, Kuwait was side-drilling into Iraq, and can you blame Kuwait for side-drilling into Iraq? Kuwait is a little tiny country off the coast of the Mediterranean. So what was the point of that ambitious goal? Can't leaders have enough and be satisfied with enough? The implementation of a global governmental system is behind all of this that we're living today, listeners. It's a scenario that's been played out over many years. And I don't see any reason to take it further back than the Federal Reserve System if you want to increase our numbers. That's always been my feelings. Here we see dated, quite a while ago, August 5th. Yeah, that was quite a while ago. War of words. Al-Qaeda's number two man embraced the London suicide bombings Thursday, warned Britain that more destruction lies ahead, and promised tens of thousands of U.S. casualties in Iraq in a brazen assertion of the terror group's global reach. This Ayman al-Zawahiri, according to Hansa Molina, was trained by the Russians. This man also renewed terror threats to other countries with troops in Iraq and Afghanistan, claiming they had shunned Osama bin Laden's offer last year of a truce if foreign forces left the battleground. That'll never happen. But the Russians and their involvement in all this is never covered by anyone. And that's why we do this. And that's the situation that I see today in the world picture in place. More wars, more death, and refer to the Iron Mountain Report, Sid Tolbert's recording of the Iron Mountain Report. It should be played on this network once a month minimum. And this is the situation that we have today, people. Back to this article entitled U.S. Presses UN Action Against Iran. And everybody's predicting this. Everybody sees this move and motivation. The entire country is awake about our federal system and how it's being engaged in these wars. For what purpose? And what are we doing with our military? Wearing it out. Is our military being worn out to the point where we will not have the ability to fight a war? A real war? Why is Communist China building up so much militarily? Why are the Soviet Union and Communist China having a joint military exercise? Why do we have products made in Communist China on our shelves? Slave labor products made by Communist China. I've only been talking about that for years. The move by Iran, which Washington accuses of seeking nuclear arms, came despite an effort by Britain, France, Germany to wean Tehran off its ambitions with economic and security initiatives. The Islamic Republic rejected as unacceptable the latest offer that would have allowed it to retain a civilian nuclear capacity, but barred it from enriching uranium that could be used in a bomb. Now, that could be used for many purposes. Iran could be set up by Russia to be in this situation. It's hard to determine where this is going to take us. World War III predicted by many to be started in the Middle East, and it would be nuclear. Well, it looks like this is going to happen. Iran agreed in November to suspend such activities pending talks with the so-called EU, but the crisis has escalated since Tehran's ultra-conservative president Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Oh, man, I'm just terrible at these. I can't pronounce these words, people. I just can't pronounce these foreign people. Ahmadinejad. You know? And he just took office last week, according to this article. Yes. These people with their names. And why would you... This is only the extension of Vietnam in another part of the world. This is what we're involved in Iraq. Now it's Iran. The United States was initially skeptical of the European effort and had pressed to bring Iran before the United Nations for possible sanctions from the start, but lacked support. This is incredible. Washington changed tact in March and backed the EU-3 negotiations, adding its own sweeteners, a promise to eventually help Iran obtain spare parts for civilian airliners and not to oppose its bid for entry into the World Trade Organization. Very revolutionary article, listeners. U.S. officials have admitted the shift was part of an effort to repair ties with their European allies that were frayed by the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq in March 2003. But President George W. Bush's administration remained leery of the Europeans' chances of taking Iran out of its nuclear aspirations and clearly kept its distance from the latest proposal unveiled Friday. They said Tehran was unlikely to be impressed with security assurances from the Europeans that don't include pledges by the United States, which has troops in Iran's neighboring countries of Iraq and Afghanistan. Oh, yes. Well, what else is new, listeners? Very revealing article by Dennis. I tell you, how can we be so stupid to accept what's going on today? Why anybody would join the military today, knowing what's in store for them, I do not know, except there's no other alternative, nothing else to do. could be. On the home front recently, an article, go directly to jail for United Way. United Way, non-governmental organization of the United Nations. Here we see, this weekend, Garfield County residents will have the chance to do something they may never have planned to do. Spend the night in jail. Garfield County Sheriff Bill Winchester and the local United Way are offering a night stay in the new jail as a fundraiser. Winchester got a certificate of occupancy for the $8 million, 198-bed jail June 2nd. But before he moves in the inmates Monday, he'll lock the doors on some law-abiding residents Friday for $75. With all proceeds going to the United Way, people could spend the night in the new jail, receive a shirt commemorating their stay, have breakfast, and take a tour. If they aren't up to sleeping in the jailhouse bunks, people can pay $40 for a continental breakfast Saturday and a tour. United Way event chairman Carla Stratton said, the United Way will provide activities during the night, and people can bring pillows and sleeping bags to be more comfortable. Stratton said Wednesday that response so far wasn't as good as expected. Organizers hope to fill at least half of the beds, but so far only had about 20 sign up for the overnight stay. Well, I wonder why. Quote, I think we were hoping for a bigger community response, end quote, she said. Quote, it's a very impressive facility, end quote. More jails, listeners. Winchester said he had employees decided incarcerating people for the night might be a good way to show off the jail and help the United Way. The United Nations owns the United Way, listeners. Residents passed a 15-year quarter-cent sales tax in November 2002 to fund the jail, and construction started in August 2003. Very interesting. Speaking of jails, listeners, the latest update on the Civilian Inmate Labor Program, Army Regulation 210-35. This rapid called a rapid action revision dated 14 January 2005, assigns responsibilities to Headquarters Installation Management Agency, makes administration and editorial changes. They talk about, by the order of the Army, Peter J. Shoemaker, General United States Army Chief of Staff. The official is Sandra R. Riley. This publication is a rapid action revision. The portions affected by this rapid action revision are listed in the summary of change. This regulation provides guidance for establishing and managing civilian inmate labor programs on Army installations. It provides guidance for on establishing prison camps on Army installations. It addresses record keeping and reporting incidents related to the civilian inmate labor program and or prison camp administration. Applicability: the regulation applies to the Army, the active Army, the Army National Guard, of the United States, and the U.S. Army Reserve, unless otherwise stated. During mobilization, the Assistant Chief of Staff or Installation Management may modify chapters and policies contained in this regulation. They go on. The proponent of this regulation is the Assistant Chief of Staff for Installation Management. La, la, la. Army management control process. This regulation contains management control provisions and identifies key management controls that must be evaluated. As I move along, the table of contents is very interesting. We have the introduction. Chapter 2, Establishing Installation of Civilian Inmate Labor Programs. Chapter 2. Chapter 3, Establishing Civilian Inmate Prison Camps on Army Installations. Well, Chapter 2 was Establishing Installation civilian inmate labor programs. Chapter 3, once again, establishing civilian inmate prison camps on Army installations. In the introduction, it says, and their purpose, this regulation provides Army policy and guidance for establishing civilian inmate labor programs and civilian prison camps on Army installations. See what BRAC is all about? Base realignment enclosure. What are they being realigned for? Civilian purposes, concentration camps, civilian inmate labor camps, etc. In the meantime, our military is overseas in over 100 and some countries, setting up military bases in other countries, closing military bases here. So we'll have foreign military in our country, just like we had NATO, foreign military flying NATO AWACS after September 11, 2001, because they reported, they being the press, the military, stating there wasn't enough manpower here to fly the AWACS. Well, that's baloney. It was a test run to see how the public would accept foreigners, foreign troops from those other countries flying NATO planes in our country. I don't know what the result was about that and how the reaction was. I was sure talking about it where I was on the air at the time, back in 2002. So the purpose, once again, this regulation provides Army policy and guidance for establishing civilian inmate labor programs and civilian prison camps on Army installations. Sources of civilian inmate labor are limited to on and off post federal corrections facilities, state and or local corrections facilities operating from on post prison camps pursuant to leases under Section 2667, Title 10, United States Code, that's 10 U.S.C., 2667, listeners. Look it up for yourself. 10 U.S.C. 2667. It's in other links. And off-post state corrections facilities participating in the demonstration project authorized under Section 1065, Public Law 103-337. Otherwise, state and or local inmate labor from off-post corrections facilities is currently excluded from this program. And they have all sorts of different directions. It's a manual. When they talk about civilian inmate labor programs, and they talk about civilian inmate labor programs benefit both the Army and correction systems by, one, providing a source of labor at no extra labor cost to Army installations to accomplish tasks that would not be possible otherwise due to the manning and funding constraints under which the Army operates. Well, who is the Army operating for? A sovereign United States? Or an all-inclusive United Nations system, listeners? And listeners, for people to be so ignorant about the UN system today, after 54,000 people died, sacrificed, 8,000 people never reached to return, POWs never to return from Korea. For people to be so ignorant about the UN system today, it goes to show how well they've done their homework in dumbing us down. Vietnam, a perfect example, again, of the UN system in place. Rules of engagement. The UN system, the CETO agreement, Southeast Asia Treaty Organization, put this together. Rules of engagement. People are yelling and harping about the sinking of the USS Liberty when in the same year the Pueblo was taken out. The USS Pueblo was taken out by the North Koreans. And when the soldiers came, or the sailors that were captured, when they were taken captive, it was as if they said to, in an interview, I think his name was Bolker, I can't remember his name, he was a radio man. He said that we were led to places where it seemed like they were waiting for us. So what I'm trying to lead to here is there's a global plan to implement totalitarianism through the United Nations system. Israel formed by the UN system. I don't see any logical thought pattern of anybody dealing with anything else than the UN system today, because it's everywhere around us. And people don't have a clue. People don't want to hear about it. Well, someday they'll find out. Someday they'll realize what's happened to them, but it'll be too late. It'll be long overdue. We've had leaders from the past. We have leaders to the present leading us down the UN rail, I suppose you can call it. George Bush, Mikhail Gorbachev, George Shultz, and your children. How are they linked? Why does it matter? Who is George Shultz? How did he help rewrite history, redefine morality, and prepare America to accept the new socialist values that are paving the way to the New World Order? And you should say a New World Communist Order, because that's what it is. If you're as concerned as Barrett Chose is about America's shift from traditional values and factual education to global values and psychosocial strategies for lifelong learning, you'd want to know the answers. You might also wonder why Texas Governor George W. Bush would choose George Shultz, who negotiated the 1985 U.S. Education Exchange Agreement as advisor on his presidential exploratory committee, or why Robert Dole chose Shultz as an advisor during his quest for the presidency in 1996. These alliances reflect the new perspective that motivates our globalist leaders to set aside the old rules of involvement and chart a new course for the world. And this is the point of the problem. We'll continue with this on the other side. Who made that statement I started out the program with?
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at firstamendmentradio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at firstamendmentradio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on firstamendmentradio.com are listener-supported. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at firstamendmentradio.com. Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, welcome back to the broadcast. On April, let's see, it was May 30th of this year. On May 30th of this year, an article in the paper, a little article, from the UN system, a Sinus group, 3rd warned the United States against weaponizing space, saying the move would be prohibitively extensive and could set off a new arms race. The Union of Concerned Scientists, a watchdog group that opposes weapons in space, said the United Nations should consider drafting a treaty that would prohibit interfering with unarmed satellites, taking away any justification for putting weapons in space to protect them. Well, we are the United Nations system. How can they do this? We are being coerced through the Hegelian dialectic to accept what we're setting up, our leaders are setting up for us. Who made this statement, people? Once again, quote, we desperately need to recognize that we are the guests, not the masters of nature, and adopt a new paradigm for development based on the cost and benefits to all people, and bound by the limits of nature herself rather than the limits of technology and consumerism. Who made that statement? He was a tyrannical person. So once again, we go back to this situation with George Bush, George Shultz, Robert Dole. These alliances reflect a new perspective that motivates our globalist leaders to set aside the old rules of involvement and chart a new course for the world. From their point of view, the old-fashioned national sovereignty or independence is out. Global solidarity or interdependence is in. Remember, listeners, the Declaration of Interdependence was formed in 1976, the 200th anniversary of this country. Now, it's up to the media and our educational change agents to persuade the masses to accept their view of the Earth as a global village. And keep in mind, so much Agenda 21 on the docket on American Exposé today. The old rules don't fit in the New World Order. Quote, nations that stick to stale old notions and ideologies will falter and fail, end quote, said former President Bush in 1991 when introducing the Republican version of our international education system. Al Gore would surely agree. At a 1991 communitarian conference in Washington, he said, quote, seeing ourselves as separate is the central problem in our political thinking, end quote. In other words, sovereignty is not to be addressed. Sovereignty is a bad thing. But that's the goal of the New World Order, New World Communist Order. Gore's conclusion was quoted in the book Spiritual Politics, co-authored by Corrine McLaughlin, the first task force coordinator for the President's Council on Sustainable Development, the PCSD listeners, which I've talked about many times in the past. McLaughlin, who likes to quote Tawal Cole, spirit guide to theopist Alice Bailey, also taught her mediation strategies at the Department of Education, Pentagon, and the EPA. Quote, there really is only one sin separateness, end quote. She states in her book, quote, war is more likely to spring from rampant nationalism, ethnocentrism, and intolerant religious fundamentalism, all extreme and separative attitudes. A primary cause of the Earth's suffering is that humanity is caught in the illusion of separation. What is needed is a cure for separateness, is a deep sense of community, that we're all in this together, end quote. That's the communitarian thought pattern, listeners. Sovereignty originally brought pride to countries. Pride came from producing your own products in your own country, selling them to other countries, which allowed you not to have to pay exorbitant taxes. That's how the government was kept running, because of tariffs. Now we don't have tariffs, or the tariffs don't go to our government, they go to the UN system. Mikhail Gorbachev shares her contempt for nationalism and religious fundamentalism, i.e. biblical Christianity. The goal of this unrepentant communist continues to be a socialist world government with power to manage and monitor every human resource according to the will of an elite council of the wise. Back in 1995, George Shultz served as chairman of the board of advisors of the Gorbachev Foundation, which had been, quote, created to assist in the process of building a global consensus for our common future, end quote. The same year, he co-chaired Gorbachev's first annual State of the World Forum in San Francisco, together with Ted Turner, Maurice Strong, and other international leaders, quote, chosen for their internationally recognized contributions to designing our emerging global civilization, end quote. Among the speakers was author Sam Keen, who announced that, quote, the ecological crisis, in short, is the population crisis. Cut the population by 90% and there aren't enough people left to do a great deal of ecological damage, end quote. See, this is why those that deal with sovereignty and their individual sovereignty eliminate their social security number, things like this that take a lot of work and research, are wasting time. Because these people in charge, doesn't matter what their names are, they are in positions of prominence today, don't give a tinker's damn whether you're sovereign or not. Because we're slated to be eliminated. Vaccinations, aerial spraying that's been going on for 10 years. None of this was going on before 1992 when Agenda 21 was formed and the Biodiversity Treaty. There was no barcodes. There was no Global Fire Monitoring Center. There was no Biometrics Consortium. That was formed in 1993, the Biometrics Consortium. What is the Biometrics Consortium? Anybody know? On our website. The whole point is, none of this has been going on until 1992 because of Agenda 21. So it's been complained to me in the past that I talk about Agenda 21 too much. That just goes to tell me that that person that said that statement to me, that made that statement to me, watches too much television and doesn't do any research. And there it is. Stop wasting time. Stop watching television. Start researching. We're all slated to be eliminated. Anybody that's awake and aware, anybody that believes in the Constitutional Republic and the restoration thereof, that detests democracy, is slated to be eliminated one way or the other. So anybody listening to this broadcast is slated to be eliminated one way or another. Eventually, you will not be able to buy or purchase without vaccinations. Your vaccination certificate, the mark. Eventually, you will not be able to go to a Walmart to purchase your food or a Sam's Club to purchase your food unless you have your mark and your vaccination certificates. Very obvious that everything we purchase is being monitored when you pay with plastic. Back to this, attending the forum as a member of the press, Barrett Schultz heard the thundering applause that followed Keene's statement. And what was that statement again? The ecological crisis, in short, is the population crisis. Cut the population by 90%, and there aren't enough people left to do a great deal of ecological damage. Whether Schultz agreed with audience or not, this popular suggestion shows the forum's general attitude toward human lives. Despite the noble rhetoric about saving the oppressed, the overriding sentiment indicated that people count only if they conform to the new ideology and serve the world community. Therefore, the masses must be trained, managed, and monitored. And the loss of lives due to politically expedient conflicts matters little. The major players in this transforming process are the media, the international education system, and a global surveillance system. Check out Chapter 40 of Agenda 21, Information for Decision Making. You'll see a global surveillance system talked about in there. All are nearly in place, thanks to Schultz, Clinton, and others who share their vision for managed conformity and strive to fulfill it. So this is why I continue to put Hansa Molina on the air. Soviet indoctrination in America. George Shultz's friendship with Gorbachev dates back to his years as Secretary of State in the Reagan administration, a time when many of us simply trusted the Republican cabinet to represent American families. I didn't, listeners. I was wide awake back then, people. Wide awake. When KAL 007 was shot down in 1983, I said, look out. Nothing will happen out of this. And nothing did happen. Ronald Reagan was playing his most ultimate role as an actor in the office of the presidency. In the early 80s, few of us realized that Schultz and David Hamburg, president of the globalist Carnegie Corporation, were using their authority to negotiate a binding international agreement with Soviet Foreign Minister Eduard Chevenensky. His terms required that we trade our sophisticated education and data tracking technology for the brainwashing strategies used to indoctrinate Soviet children, modify behavior, and monitor the masses to ensure compliance with Soviet ideology. So to see what George Shultz did to undermine our American education system, rewrite history, change values, and prepare America to accept a new role in the international community, ponder the following quotes from The Keys of This Blood by Malachi Martin. Quote, within scant months of Gorbachev's election in March 1995, to the post of General Secretary of the Central Committee of the CPSU, he and President Reagan met at their first summit in Geneva, November 19th through the 20th, 1985. They signed the General Agreement on Contacts, Exchanges in Scientific Technical Education, and Other Fields. It authorized mutual exchange programs, the homogenization of curricula, the sharing of facilities, and the mutual indoctrination of the two peoples involved. Also, cooperation would cover all computer-based instruction, instructional hardware and curriculum design for all grades of primary and secondary education, as well as college and university studies. The obvious goal was a total homogenization, not only of the methods of teaching and learning, but what was to be taught. Cooperation, for instance, in the social sciences, turned a blind eye to the official prostitution of psychiatry and psychology by the Soviet Union as clinical tools for inflicting mental and physical torture as political punishment and for disposing of dissidents. The USSR had been banned from the World Psychiatric Association in 1983 for such practices. Or take cooperation in the humanities. As taught in the Soviet Union, all humanities are marinated in Leninist Marxism as a matter of course, and history is distorted by a thoroughgoing Marxization of ideas by the systemic suppression of facts and by downright lies. One might wonder why common curricula might be drawn up between the USSR and the U.S. The aim of the general agreement, at least from the point of view of the wise men of the West, was, quote, to transform the shape of the world, end quote, because sooner or later we are going to take, we're going to have to face restructuring our institutions so that they are not confined merely to the nation states. That agreement came from already established drawing boards for both parties intended to create nothing less than a new arrangement in all human affairs, a new world order. A new world communist order is the proper way to put it, listeners. To use a consecrated phrase both Gorbachev and the wise men employ. Those early policies also reflected the blithe and trusting acceptance by the wise men of basic Leninist thinking. As they took the field with the leader who had been judged most likely to succeed in fulfilling Lenin's ultimate dream of Soviet messianism. End quote. That messianic leader was Gorbachev. His blueprint for revolution came not from Lenin, but from Antonio Gramsci. This Italian communist had aroused Stalin's wrath by suggesting that Lenin's revolutionary plan wouldn't work. The oppressed proletariat in Christian nations could not be incited to violence against the bourgeoisie. After all, in America, the two groups prayed together. So Gramsci wrote a new blueprint for world revolution. Before long, his plan for communist infiltration of the media, university, church, and government was changing the leadership, benefits, values, and attitudes of our nation. The primary assault was on biblical absolutes and Christianity, which must be crushed as a social force before the new face of communism could rise and flourish. Malachi Martin gave us a progress report. Quote, by 1985, the influence of traditional Christian philosophy in the West was weak and negligible. Gramsci's master strategy was now feasible. Humanly speaking, it was no longer too tall in order to strip large majorities of men and women in the West of those last vestiges that remained to them of Christianity's transcendent God, end quote. Whether we agree with Martin's conclusion or not, the process he describes matches history. George Shultz had helped pave the way. The merger of U.S. and USSR education strategies laid the foundations for the new program for training human resources and monitoring compliance. To bring everyone into the web, they linked political correctness to success through the National International Workforce Development Program signed into law by Clinton in 1998. When fully implemented, only those who demonstrate conformity to the new standards for attitudes, values, and group thinking would be rewarded with work and college. And there you have it in a nutshell. Apparently, George W. Bush, the front runner among Republican presidential candidates, approves this system, and certainly we have this well in sight now, people. It doesn't matter who occupies the White House. That's what I keep saying over and over again. I've been watching it all my life. Every president that's voted into office, and the last decent person to run for office in the presidency, in my opinion, was Barry Goldwater. Most of you have never even heard of Barry Goldwater. And he ran against Johnson in 1964. So there you have it. This whole setup scenario in a nutshell tonight. And we have a model school for a global community. We have lots of different directions to take you. But tonight, with the remaining moments of this broadcast. You need to pay attention to the website, AmericanExpose.com. You need to go and link to United Nations Division for Sustainable Development. You need to link to the Global Development Research Center. You need to link to the Baltic Local Agenda 21 Forum, Local Agenda 21 Project in Moldova, the Local Agenda 21 in Vinh City, Vietnam, Local Agenda 21 in India, LA 21 in Red Communist China, LA 21 in Ireland, LA 21 in Austria, ECLE in Europe, Local Agenda 21, Local Agenda 21, Commonwealth of Australia, Local Agenda 21 program. You have to realize there are 552,000 results punching in Local Agenda 21 on Yahoo search. A similar search of LA 21 netted 268,000 results. It's in our backyard, people. As Tim would say, it's in our front yard. And it's not my thing. I didn't do this. I didn't do this. You didn't do this. It's been set up for us. But it's 2005 and it's way late. It's way into implementation. It's a monster, what we live today. Here we see in the paper, Thursday's paper, dated July 28th. Indian summer, Bombay gets 37 inches of rain in one day. Do you suppose that was part of weather modification to devastate that portion of the globe? Bombay afloat in rain. Record downpours bring financial capital to a halt with hundreds trapped in cars. Why not? Weather modification is a total reality. More than likely it's the case. Here we see, day of July 29th, Senate expected to pass highway funding bill. After years of delay, the House has forced to wait another day to pass a $286.4 billion highway and mass transit bill that would send lawmakers home for their summer vacations bearing big gifts of roads, bridges, and jobs. Oh, man. Do you know how much money $286.4 billion is? Sad commentary, people. RAN SAC, listeners, Nuclear Security Advisory Council, the Russian American Nuclear Security Advisory Council, people, RAN SAC. I don't know what you do, Dennis, but boy, you really put it together on a very, very constant basis. Dennis and Darren, who could ask for two better webmasters? RAN SAC, the Russian American Nuclear Security Advisory Council, is an independent non-governmental research organization dedicated to increasing the security of weapons of mass destruction. Well, boy, keep in mind the U.S. military, the Russian military. Under State Department Publication 7277, Freedom from War, the United States Program for General and Complete Disarmament is a joint Russian and U.S. military program. It's in the U.S. Code. I don't have the sightings in front of me. They want to also reduce proliferation risks. RANSAC's priority is supporting the cooperative threat reduction agenda between the U.S., Russia, and other former Soviet states and promoting its expansion to address global proliferation dangers. Well, keep in mind, Hansa Molina thinks, through his contacts, that Russia is behind all these terrorist activities from Al Qaeda, and I don't doubt it in the least. because you always have to have two sides to the situation in the Hegelian dialectic, listeners. So Senate expected to pass highway funding bill. What is this for? NAFTA corridors. $286 billion? They're going to build NAFTA corridors. That's why the eminent domain ruling to move people off their properties. So this is where we live today. This is what it's all about. Don't care. All you want to be is sovereign and eliminate your Social Security card. They don't give a damn about you and your Social Security card. Here we see Chinese automaker sets aim for global market. This is dated July 19th. It was one of the most awkward moments in an up-and-coming automaker. As an alarm sounded, workers in bright blue uniforms rushed to rebalance an auto body that had gone awry in an assembly line. It still may be close to the humble beginnings, but Geely Group, a privately owned Chinese car manufacturer, has global ambitions. Geely and fellow Chinese upstart Chery Automotive are gearing up for expansion overseas, having seen sales in their compact cars soar in China at a time of slowing growth for bigger automakers such as Volkswagen and Toyota. Geely's Merrick, Mabel, and Hong Ping economy models already are sold in almost 30 countries in Asia and the Middle East and Eastern Europe, but the company based in the Ningbo is port city south of Shanghai is looking further west. Well, where's that going to lead us, ultimately, people? The picture's well in place. You have to get active and educate others and your representatives. And that is not an easy job, but we have nothing else to do, no other hope. Good night. God bless you all.